Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Speaking to you after Toronto Raptors took down the Orlando Magic by a score of 109-99. And I'm not going to lie to you, this was not as intense as, the wins over Miami, the win over Los Angeles. But, it was still a solid win. The Raptors are now 3-0 inside the bubble. And before I go on to recap this game, I got to tell you that, look, I know what you're thinking right now. Ever since basketball came back, you can't get buckets out of your head. And we're not just talking about basketball buckets. We're talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. You watch them, you crave them. That's how it works. I get it. It happens to me all the time. 1 minute I'm talking about buckets on the podcast. The next minute I'm daydreaming about when this Orlando Magic game could finally end because it's so boring. And maybe I'll go out and get a $10 Mighty Bucket for two. I mean, how can you get your mind off four pieces of chicken, two original recipe tenders, two individual fries, two dips, and of course, a popcorn chicken? But don't worry, it's honestly, it's very normal. It even happens to most NBA players during actual games. I mean, honestly, Raptors were probably thinking about KFC in the third quarter when they were really slacking off there. But look, it just means you're hungry. So order your bucket online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. Yeah, so this game, Look, I'll say this much. The Raptors raced out to a great first quarter lead. They won the first quarter 26-11. Yes, that's correct. The Orlando Magic only had 11 points in the first quarter. I believe that's a season low against the Raptors this year. It makes sense. If you just look at Orlando, like how is that team really going to be scoring against the Raptors starting five? You could say that for a lot of teams, I guess. Raptors obviously having a elite starting five. At this point, the Raptors starting five has been pretty much the best starting five in the NBA, inside this NBA restart. If you just look by the numbers, and I got a story about this coming out tomorrow, but if you look at the numbers, the Raptors starting five is plus 37 in 36 minutes or 56 minutes so far inside the bubble. And really, when you look at, that Laker game, obviously the Raptors started out great, 10-0 run. Same deal here tonight against the Magic. Offensively a little clunky to start, but really turned it on, of course, up 15 after the first quarter. And kind of similarly against Miami, especially in Miami, that was the third quarter when they on the 20-7 run to really establish control. Like, Raptors starting five is great. And again, go back to my question, how is Orlando going to score on the Raptors starting five? Because we know Nikola Vucevic, he turns into like Kwame Brown every single time he sees Marc Gasol. Maybe that's honestly an insult to Kwame Brown. At least Kwame Brown gave us that great Stephen A. Smith rant. Like, it worse than Kwame Brown when Nick Vucevic goes against Marc Gasol. We saw this last year in the playoffs. That was a big reason why the Raptors were able to get by Orlando in five games. Really should have been a sweep, but shout out DJ Augustine for that three at the end. Five games. We know Vucevic can't do anything to Marc Gasol, like literally nothing, and it was the same deal today. And then you look at the rest of that rotation, right? Like DJ Augustine, if it isn't game one of the first round, he's not doing much. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, obviously defensively, really good combo there. Same deal with Evan Fournier. He wasn't really hitting his threes today. Had a couple of shots missed, even the ones that were open. He wasn't really getting it going. Then you look at like James Ennis. Oh my God, man. This guy kept missing threes. Like, it looked like every time he took a three, it was like the last option for him. And yet he still took six threes, which was, the the most of anyone in the Magic starting lineup. He went 0 for 6 on threes. And then it was Aaron Gordon, who honestly had a nice, he had a nice run there. Unfortunately, he got hurt in this game. Quite honestly, it was a regrettable play by Kyle Lowry, who didn't need to foul him that hard when he sort of grabbed him by the arm in midair. Look, I called out Goran Dragic last podcast because I thought that was a bit of a cheap shot. I don't think this is a cheap shot necessarily because I don't think it's the intention is like, let's trip a guy with my hand. But at the same time, it was kind of a needlessly hard foul. I mean, I get it. The Raptors were on a bit of a, you know, a slow start there in the third quarter. The Magic started out 9-0 with a 9-0 run. And, you know, Gordon was really getting off. You know, he made a couple of defensive plays. He got a block. He took it in for a layup. And he was going hard to the rim. And, you know, it was a bit of a blow by on the perimeter there. And a bit of a miscommunication, I guess, defensively. You think Mark would slide over and help. But instead, Kyle had to, you know, foul him basically to prevent the layup. And it was a hard foul. Gordon apparently hurt his hamstring, which is not surprising because he landed basically on one leg. And he wasn't happy about it after the game. Some of his teammates are standing up for him after the game, too. So it is what it is. But I'm just, again, just the starting five. Like, there's no scoring advantage for the Magic against the Raptors starting five. And so the Raptors got up to this great start. And, you know, what was really good was that the Raptors bench was actually able to come in and actually, you know, build on the lead, which was not happening in the first two games. They were consistently getting outscored like 50 to 15. You know, Miami's bench was working them. Los Angeles, the Lakers bench is not even good, especially now that they're banged up. And the Lakers bench was working the Raptors bench. So it was nice to see the Raptors bench come in today and give a solid effort. I wouldn't say it's the best game that they played. You know, and if you look on the other side, guys like Wes Iwundu, guys like Gary Clark Jr., actually, I think that's a guitarist. Just Gary Clark. And Terrence Ross, you know, they all were in double digits, and they sort of were able to put their mark on the game. But at least the Raptors bench played them to an even, which at this point I will take, considering how much they've struggled. And, you know, especially in that first half there, the bench was able to come in, especially in that second quarter, and just sort of like float, you know, the team a little bit, give them a little bit more of a cushion, you know, build a lead to the point where the Raptors were up 20 at halftime. And that's, you know, thanks in large part to guys like Norman Powell, who had a nice game off the bench. I mean, I would say this is average for Norm, 14 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 22 minutes off the bench. We've seen Norm do a lot more than that this year. But given the circumstances, given they only played 22 minutes, I would take 14 points on 50% shooting with three threes. That's really not bad at all. You know, I like that the first play, basically, Norm got into the game, they immediately called his number. And it's that classic Norm play where you have one guy triggering the ball from one side of the floor. Norm's on the other side, comes around a screen from Serge Ibaka. So he has a bit of a head of steam going to the basket. Pass hits Norm right in the hands. Norm takes one hard dribble, two steps, boom, right to the rim for a left-handed layup. You know, and that sort of explosion was there for Powell. He had a two-handed dunk at one point, driving straight through the defense for a dunk. Again, these are things that you come to expect from Norm nowadays. Like, he's been that good this season where, yeah, you do expect him to just drive through the defense and dunk, because that's honestly what he did for a lot of the year. So they got Norm going to the basket a couple times. They got Norm a couple of threes off a couple of nice rotations. You know, one play, I think Rondé drove into the middle of the lane. Defense collapsed, you know, kicked it out to Norm. He hit the three. So, you know, Norm played well, I would say, you know, and you know, whatever. I mean, defensively, there were a couple of gaffes against Terrence, but for the most part, he did a decent job on Terrence Ross, too. You know, and then even with Serge, I thought Serge defensively wasn't quite there. You know, noticeably slow in terms of reading the game. Obviously, we know Serge is a vet. He knows how to play defense. He's a great defender, actually. But, you know, I think maybe it's just a contrast between, like, seeing what Mark's been doing, and then Serge comes into the game, and he's just like a half beat late. But, you know, you can really notice it. And you know, there were a couple of rotations that were missed. There was one play where, you know, Terrence Ross, you know, broke free in the perimeter, you know, went back door and caught a lob for an alley-oop. And Norm and Serge kind of had a discussion about it, and it was like, you know, you got to help in that situation. There's a screen up top that's up to the low man there to, like, you know, pick up the play and rotate back and protect the basket. Serge just was kind of asleep on that play. And there was a couple of plays where, you know, when Vucevic did go against Serge, he was able to get a couple of baskets off. But for the most part, I thought Serge offensively at least was active. You know, he created some of his own baskets by going for offensive rebounds. I like that portion of his game. You know, obviously with the bench, there is more of an onus for guys to come in and create, because you don't have the infrastructure that you have with, like, you have, look at the starting line. You have Lowry's a point guard, Fred VanVleet's a point guard, Pascal Siakam essentially is the third string point guard. Marc Gasol essentially is a point center. You know, there's just a lot of passing. There's a lot of chemistry. The ball movement is amazing within the starting lineup. But when you come to the bench, I mean, especially, you know, with, I guess, McCaw out, and McCaw was kind of that third string point guard, especially for the bench, no one on the bench is really looking to set anyone else up. Everyone on the bench is just coming in and trying to score. So if that is the case, then, you know, you do have to kind of create a bit more of your own offense. And I thought Serge getting to the glass is one way to do it. You know, surprisingly missed three of his free throws today, all three, 0 for 3 today from the free throw line. Some of them were kind of bad misses. Yeah, Serge is a pretty consistent player, so I'm a little perplexed as to why, you know, he was so sharp in the scrimmages. Like, he had that one game, he went 8 for 10, and he was, like, the Raptors' best player. I think he got first star in the podcast, too, but, you know, he went from that, like, literally a week and a half ago to now, where he's kind of struggling a little bit, but at least offensively, he got in the mix a little bit more, And you know, the bench was able to come in and supplement the starters. But really, you know, it was just a simple game. I mean, honestly, like, the Magic just didn't have enough offensive firepower. They were at 35 points at halftime. They were down 55-35. And it was just they couldn't hit any threes. And really, that didn't change. Like, they hit a, you know, maybe like 2-3 threes in that stretch there at the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, and it was like, okay, maybe they'll come back. You know, they're cutting down to like 8. You know, who knows? Maybe they, you know, get a steal here. They go another way. Like, maybe the game's tied. Who knows, right? But it just never happened because they just couldn't hit threes. Like, they shot 11 of 41 from three. A lot of them were wide open, especially down the stretch. It's kind of painful watching it because I'm like, as a Raptor fan, I could tell the Raptors are just like, let's just get this over with. Let's try to do minimal effort to get through this assignment. It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, when you're in grade 12 and you have your, like, university acceptance, and that's all wrapped up, and then you're coming into that, like, May-June stretch when they're like, you got to study for this biology exam, and I'm like, I don't need to memorize the Krebs cycle. Like, I'm just going to skip through this and, like, I don't know, play video games or chill with my friends or whatever, because I don't care. There's no consequence, and that's kind of how I felt with the Raptors. They were kind of putting in that minimal effort. But even still, even with the minimal effort, and the Raptors, you know, defensively, we know they can do a lot, but yeah, even with the minimal effort, man, the Magic with open threes, they were missing those too. So it was tough to watch. It was tough to watch for this team. But you know, chances are good that the Raptors get to face the Magic, you know, again in the first round. I mean, you know, with the way the sort of standings are right now, the Magic, I believe, are currently in the seventh seed. I guess they gotta wait for this this Nets game to officially end here. The You know, they were able to beat Bud's Bucks, which was very funny that this the Long Island Nets is what I've been calling them now. The Long Island Iced Tea Nets, because that's essentially a G League team. But okay, yeah, actually, no, they're going to still be in the 7th seed. But realistically, based on the way the Nets are, like the roster, like, you would expect Orlando to take over that 7th seed, and that's probably the 2-7 matchup with the Raptors. If that is the case, I mean, just expect more of these kind of games where, you know, Orlando doesn't have enough firepower, especially against a great defensive club like the Raptors. And honestly, I didn't even see that much of a struggle for the Raptors to score. You know, obviously, part of that is because Jonathan Isaac has unfortunately, you know, torn his ACL. And, you know, he is done basically for the season, if not for all of next season. It's a very serious injury. That's a year-long injury. Same thing happened with Klay in the finals. So, you know, like, I mean, Klay's still not back, right? So, yeah, so without Isaac, you know, he is a guy who is a great defender. And then you look at even Aaron Gordon, when he wants to, he can, you know, dial it up. The physicality is there. Obviously, we know he's athletic. You know, he can make a couple of plays. You know, we'll see the extent to which his hamstring is injured. But, like, you know, they don't even have the defensive firepower that they had, you know, last year going against the Raptors, where they were able to make it tough once or twice. Like, Kawhi had a game where he shot like 30%. You know, on the road, Pascal had to come in and close the game. Cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, they just don't have the firepower defensively. And they didn't even look that locked in, which is strange because, you know, Steve Clifford, if anything else, he's a guy who gets his team to focus and play defense. And that's pretty much the only way the Orlando Magic are going to succeed. And they didn't really do that for a lot of this game. The Raptors scored, what, 109 points, shot 49% from the field, 36% from three. They got to the free throw line 30 times, 25 assists. Like, this was just an efficient outing. And that's when you know, factor in the fact that Kyle only has 8 points tonight, okay? It wasn't like Kyle was going off or whatever. He didn't really get to the rim much. you know, jacked up a couple threes, only shot 2 of 7. This wasn't like, okay, Kyle Lowry versus the Lakers. It was not like that. And then even if you look at Pascal, I mean, Pascal, you know, was also a little bit tentative with his offense. 5 of 12 shooting from the field, 15 points. He had 7 turnovers, which is, I don't know, it's slightly concerning that Pascal hasn't really asserted himself. I don't think the matchups were great. Today, I thought the matchup would be a lot better, but, you know, he unfortunately was not able to really shake loose like that. Got to the rim once or twice, you know, had a 30-foot three in the fourth quarter there, but, you know, had some... The 7 turnovers is just hard to overlook. Like, it's just something so loose about the way Pascal is playing. You know, everything about this game is, like, 20% too loose right now. You just gotta, like, tighten everything up and just, like, really focus. And I think that's where the turnovers speak to, but... yeah, it's not like, you know, the Raptors' top two guys. They combined for, you know, 23 points on 7 of 21 shooting. Like, it wasn't that great with 11 turnovers combined. And yet the Magic still allowed, like, a really efficient offensive game for the Raptors. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to this playoff matchup. Only in the sense that I think it'll be, you know, a little bit difficult to watch. But as for this game itself, you know, I thought Fred VanVleet was really, really nice. Built off of the momentum of that Heat game where he came in, gave you 36 points, gave you that game-saving steal on Goran Dragic. You know, Fred tonight, 21 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 8 of 13 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. It's a pretty good defense against, you know, Augustin and Fournier as well. But realistically, this, I mean, the best part of this game for Fred was just the highlights. If you get a chance to go watch what Fred was doing with some of these plays, because he was nasty. Like, he had a play driving in transition, kind of didn't even really have numbers, had Markel Fultz backpedaling, and then just hit him with a quick crossover, completely froze Fultz, and Fred was able to step past and get in for the left-handed layup. It wasn't quite when Fred VanVleet dropped Markel Fultz on a crossover before pulling up for 3 earlier in their season when the Raptors played the Magic like 3 times in a month, which was, again, very painful. But yeah, I mean, Fred, he froze Markel Fultz on that one. He had some deep threes as well. And then in the second half, you know, he had, what, Evan Fournier against him one-on-one. I'm not saying Evan Fournier is a great defender, but, you know, Fred VanVleet driving one-on-one against the guy going to the rim is always usually a bit of a dicey proposition, especially when Fournier is, well, I mean, you know, Fournier is not a great defender by any means, but he's like at least 6'3". Fred is like 5'11". I'm a little generous with that. 5'11". Yeah, let's say 5'11". So he's shorter, but Fred was able to just drive into Fournier's body, press up on him, and then he tossed in this like ridiculous reverse layup where, you know, he drove past the baseline and then just tossed it up behind his head. You know, he wasn't even looking at the basket. Somehow it bounces right in. Fred had some great highlight plays in this one. And really, honestly, in a game where a lot of other players weren't really showing a lot of, like, you know, focus and tenacity, Fred really came in there and gave them a lot of just, you know, stability. And, you know, again, we just have to really appreciate that the Raptors have both a guy like Kyle Lowry and a guy like Fred VanVleet. The Orlando Magic have had Evan Fournier as their franchise player for what feels like like 6 decades. Or like DJ Augustin, like, you know, come on, man. Having Fred VanVleet as your, you know, second point guard is unbelievable when you compare it to that. So Fred was awesome. He, you know, the fact that he had 10 assists with 0 turnovers is also, again, just like he brought a lot of stability to a game where everyone else is a little lackadaisical. You know, OG, I thought, did really well offensively. I mean, listen, the crossovers and spin moves and everything like that, I was a little afraid that we were getting a little bit too hype about it because it was just a couple scrimmages and we're talking about like 5 or 6 plays. He crossed up like Mario Hezonja, no big deal. But now we're seeing it against Anthony Davis. We're seeing it on a consistent basis now. He will try it like 2-3 times a game. And we saw it early in the game today where, you know, he came off a pick and roll. A defender tried to spin him one way. He spun the other way, was able to get to his preferred direction into the middle of the floor. You know, sort of got into the middle of the lane, saw Vucevic there, and then hit Vucevic with a quick spin move, got to his left hand and finished. And, you know, honestly, man, it looks good. It looks good. It looks really good. The footwork, the balance is there for him, which is something that's been an issue for OG. Usually when he drives to the basket, sort of doesn't have necessarily the coordination that, you know, that really tight coordination that like a guy like Pascal will have. You know what I mean? He's able to contort his body. Even if he jumps off at weird angles off the wrong foot, he's still able to, you know, get a steady shot off. OG could sometimes lose his balance. His balance looks better, especially on the spin moves now. And just offensively, they're just looking for OG. Like, he had 12 points today, didn't shoot a single three-pointer. And a lot of it was just him going to the basket. You know, they're making that that little curl when OG sort of comes from the top of the floor, comes off two screens, goes to the rim for the alley-oop. They're making that a bit of a, you know, more of a staple play for OG. And even the post-up, man. You know, he's just strong as hell down there. Like, it's sort of simple and rudimentary in that it's sort of to the point. But, I mean, after watching Kawhi, I have no issues with a simple player. I think, you know, whatever is effective, you make that move. And OG in the post, with the strength and the size that he has, going up against, like, an Evan Fournier or DJ Augustine, like, it's easy. He could just, again, if he has his balance, he can collect himself, go straight up. He's a reliable finisher down there, too. And, you know, this is one of those, in this game, you know, they actually took a basket away from OG because they said he traveled on a spin move in the post, but... And the replay showed, you know, he was able to keep his pivot foot down. So, again, I just think, you know, OG's, he's really, really impressed me in the first three games here. And I love it because, man, you're going to need a very engaged OG heading into the playoffs. He's super, super important. Defensively, he didn't really have that much to do today. But, I mean, it wasn't like anyone was getting anything easy against OG pretty much ever. And then lastly, yeah, I mean, you know, it goes without saying, but Marc Gasol versus Nick Vucevic, it's unfortunate, man. It's just unfortunate for Nick Vucevic. You know, Nick was able to get, like, a layup over Pascal. He's able to, you know, drive on Serge a little bit. Pretty much anyone else. You know, Nick Vucevic, you know, you could see, okay, this is a guy who gave you 20 and 10. You know, he's a skilled offensive player for sure. But against Marc Gasol, like I said, this guy just can't do anything, man. I was watching it closely. The first matchup, Vucevic went against Marc, tried for a little post hook. Marc was right in his grill, contested it. It fell short. Then Nick Vucevic tried to pop a three. Marc was kind of there as well. Missed that. Then it was a reverse layup. He missed that. A putback. He missed that. It was just comical watching Nick try to do stuff against Marc. Now, eventually, he got a couple of shots to go. He hit a three. Again, this time, Marc just didn't even bother closing out on him. And he hit that three, so congrats. This is starting to appear in the fourth quarter where the Raptors were comfortably ahead. And then he had a play where he sort of drove against Marc. Marc blocked him at the rim, but the referees called it a foul. They went to the replay. Nick challenged the play because, honestly, you know, you got to respect how much... It's just such a funny move to make where, you know, obviously Vucevic has struggled with Marc so much that, you know, you should just let him have one. Because it wasn't like it was going to affect the game. It wasn't like, okay, this is a two-point game. He drives in and it's kind of a close call. Let's challenge that. Like, no, the Raptors were up like 13, 14 points with like 3 minutes to go. You didn't need to do this. But Nick decides, you know what? Just on principle, I don't believe Nick Vucevic scored on Marc, so I'm going to go to the replay here. And when I watched the video going back, honestly, Marc kind of got him. Marc got him cleanly on the block. Maybe there's a little bit of contact on the body, but, I mean, it's 2 7-footers contesting at the rim. There's no way those guys aren't going to, like, bump bodies a little bit. Marc got him cleanly on the block up top on the ball. So, whatever. But, you know, Marc actually had a great reaction to the call. But, yeah, I mean, Vucevic, man, he just can't do anything against Marc. Like, it's unfortunate. And what was really funny was the Raptors actually opened this game, and this might speak to the focus when you open the game like this, but they opened the game with an intent to really force-feed Marc Gasol. Now, this happens a lot. You see it in not just this team. You saw it in previous Raptors teams. You know, they used to always force-feed JV early on to get him engaged. It's a common tactic with big men. You give him a couple of touches early on, get him engaged so they can play defensively. We know Marc is a very unselfish guy. He doesn't need any sort of prompting to play defense. You know, he's just gonna buy in. If he takes two shots in the whole entire night, he will still defend completely and wholeheartedly. But yeah, they got Marc a lot of looks. They got him, what, 4 shots in the first 3 minutes. He was taking like weird loopy, like, you know, the turnaround jumpers. He was getting to the basket. You know what? One play where, you know, he had Aaron Gordon in the post. The ball was fed to Mark. Mark was able to spin, get all the way clear, and dunk with two hands at the rim. And then Mark was able to pop two threes as well throughout the course of the game. And yeah, this is what I'm looking for with Mark, right? All this stuff seems completely doable. Like, Mark is always going to have a mismatch at some point. You find Mark, he makes a move, he scores. Mark can probably do his little turnaround jumper in the mid-range, but to be honest, those things just don't work well. It's not an efficient shot for him anymore. Maybe it never was, but it definitely isn't now. But and then the top of the floor threes, like, you just mix in like one post-up basket, like, you know, a couple of threes, like three free throws here and there, like, just get to double digits. I feel like if Mark could hit the low double digits, like, I feel like that is a huge win for the Raptors offense. Again, it's not asking for a lot, and a guy like Mark, he's talented, he can score. You know, it's not asking too much, but, you know, if he can give you that scoring on top of the fact that he's provided excellent defense in all three games now, yeah, like, you know, I think that would really go a long way. So I've already gone on long enough about this Orlando Magic game. Again, if you can't already tell by my tone, it's just, don't like watching the Magic. They're painfully boring, and they're just annoying. Like, as my colleague Ahmed said on Twitter, you know, what's really annoying about the Magic is they could just lose by 20 and everyone can have a good time, but instead they will fight like hell to just lose by 10 and you have to watch till the end. Yeah, I completely agree with that. This is a team that is mad annoying, but, you know, whatever. Hopefully everyone's healthy there, or at least as healthy as possible, and yeah, hopefully. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess I'd rather see the Nets than the Magic in the playoffs, but who knows? That first round's gonna be a little dull. In terms of the three stars for tonight's game, first star goes to Fred VanVleet, 21 points, 10 rebounds, four rebounds, a steal, 8 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, an assortment of highlights. Again, if you go back and watch any highlights from this game, just watch what Fred VanVleet did to guys like Evan Fournier and Markel Fultz. Just a nasty, nasty player. When Fred makes his moves and when he makes his shots, it looks so smooth. Fred had a great game today. Again, just really set the tone in a game where no one else was really working that hard. Second star, I'm giving that to Marc Gasol. Aid defensively against Nick Vucevic. Vucevic, what, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 4-10 shooting. Again, like I said, at least 6 of those points were against other players. So really, when Nick was going up against Mark, it was really just like 6 points he had on him. And Vucevic clearly is a guy who, especially with the Magic short a couple of players on the wing, like, they really need Nick Vucevic to give you like 20 points, maybe even 30 points. And no, he gives you Kwame Brown production when he's guarded by Marc Gasol. And Mark also gave you the scoring, 13 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 5 of 7 from the field with 2 threes in 25 minutes. I'll take that any day from Marc Gasol. And then the third star, I'm giving that to OG Anunoby, 12 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 5 of 7 from the field. Again, just I liked his aggression. The spin move is really growing on me. I really enjoy it. Whoever is in the Raptors coaching staff that's teaching all these guys spin moves, give that guy a raise. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is on that, maybe it's Jim San or whoever, like, just give that guy a raise. Give that person a raise. Because, yeah, it's been beautiful to watch Pascal do it. And now, you know, OG seems like he's falling down a little bit of that path where he's got that spin move down too. So it's been nice to see OG make a couple of plays scoring the ball. And, of course, defensively didn't have that much of an assignment, but I thought he did well defensively as well. So in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I'm going to give that to... I don't even know who I'm going to give that to be honest. Like, the Magic leading scorer was Terrence Ross with 15, so... Maybe I'll give it to T-Ross, but honestly, like, T-Ross, like, you know, he got so frustrated with the Raptors' defense at one point that he just, like, threw his mouth guard like it was Steph Curry in the finals, you know, and he got a tech for it. He just looked frustrated. I can't even give it to Terrence, really, because, like, the Raptors kind of completely scouted. Obviously, they had Terrence for a long time, so they're familiar with him, but they just pressure him really closely on the, you know, throughout the whole game. When he comes across the screen, everyone knows he's going to jack up the shot and pull up. The Raptors are really good at sending an extra guy. Usually the big man, Mark or Serge, comes and pressures Ross right at the shot. Ross, you know, is able to, like, pass out of that to the rolling big man occasionally. And that worked one time with Ken Burch for a dunk, but they just have Terrence completely scouted, right? they really defend him well. So I'm not even giving it to him. I'm going to give it to Gary Clark, who, again, I think that's a guitarist. But whatever. 10 points, 5 rebounds for Gary Clark, the former Houston Rockets player. Shot 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, got in the mix with a couple offensive rebounds. Again, the bar is low. The bar is low, okay? So 10 points, 5 rebounds, that will get you the Gerald Henderson Award in 50 minutes off the bench for Gary Clark. But overall, yeah, it was not that exciting of a game, to be honest. The Raptors are now 3-0. They are... So unfortunately, they have not actually clinched a second seed yet. They are their magic number to clinch a second seed, I believe, is just 1. They actually play the Boston Celtics, on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. So, if the Raptors just win that game, you have the second seed locked up. There's very little left to play for. There's an outside chance to catch Milwaukee, but that's not realistic. It's the Bucks are a little bit too far ahead, even though they are out here losing to Chris Gioza, all right? This guy, the Milwaukee Bucks could not beat a man named Dumpling. It is what it is. But yeah, the second seed is the most important thing here. And the Raptors play the Celtics. And the Celtics, congratulations, they bounced back from their last game where they lost... forget who they lost to, but, I just know that they lost. Who do they play, man? I don't know. I'm watching too much basketball these days. But, yeah, they beat their Brooklyn Nets today 149-115. Jeez, I can't believe the Bucks weren't able to do that the other day. It seems like the Raptors are mostly safe. Even if they lose that game against the Celtics, which would be devastating to my pride. Even if they just lost him to the Celtics, like the Raptors, if they take just one more game down the stretch here, they're going to get the second seed. So I'm not sure how that's going to impact how the Raptors play. I think the Raptors they lost to the Heat. That's right. The Boston Celtics lost to the Miami Heat on the second night of a back-to-back without Jimmy Butler in the lineup. It was actually real cute that, Brad Stevens tried to use Nick Nurse's strategy. Like I mentioned, actually, on the pod, go back and listen to it. When I talked about how OG was the one guarding Bam, I said explicitly in that podcast that someone scouting this game is going to be copying this move by Nick Nurse. And lo and behold, literally the next night, the Boston Celtics replicate the same strategy using Jaylen Brown to guard Bam Adebayo. And guess what? It did not work. Adebayo had 21 points. Adebayo got to the free throw line. Let me pull up this box score here. Yeah, Adebayo got to the free throw line 17 times. Am I reading this right? No, I'm on the wrong day. Just hold on here. I want to get this slander correct because, factual slander is the most important. Adebayo got to the free throw 18 times. Sorry, my bad. So he shot 11 of 18, but 21 points for Adebayo. If you compare it to the game against OG, Adebayo had no free throws. It's not the same. Adebayo had 10 against OG, had 21 against Brown. Team defense matters there too, but again, individual defense also matters. Not everyone is OG. Very few players are OG, the Boston Celtics lost to Miami Heat. And honestly, the Celtics, if it wasn't, they're like one missed three by, like Damian Lillard away from being 0-3 at the bubble so far. They don't look that great on the whole. Who knows? I mean, Raptors-Celtics, that's going to be a close game, so I'm not slandering them based on their ability, but that should be a good one. That should be a good one. That should be a lot better than Raptors-Magic, so... hopefully the Raptors can just wrap up and wrap up the second seed, win that one, take care of business. But even if they don't panic. There's plenty of time to go out there and lock that down. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. So I'll be back. Actually, I'll be back tomorrow with a podcast to sort of look back at sort of the week so far, the three games. I'm going to have, podcast favorite Big V on to sort of break down the three games and just look at where the Raptors stand at the moment. And Big V's been writing some great analysis pieces. So we're going to talk about all those things. So look at the podcast tomorrow. So thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks for everyone who called into the call-in show on Tuesday. That was a lot of fun. As a reminder, the call-in show will be there next Tuesday as well. We're going to move the times around a little bit, so you guys sort of keep listening, kind of right now with the playoffs and everything like that. It's going to be a bit of a moving schedule, but Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The next podcast, the next live call-in show will be next Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern with me and Josh Hart taking calls. So please call in. But yeah, that's Raptors are 3-0. Things are good. Everyone's healthy. We move on to the next one.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.